Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yet one more time. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Because today's gospel is still the day of Easter. It might have even still been in the morning of Easter. All we know is that it refers to the women who went early that same day to the tomb. And so we read from Luke chapter 24, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. So my note said that they were on about a 2-hour walk. As our daughter would say, it depends who's in front. You know, and you can only imagine what would be if her dad was in front. Anyway, 2 hours to a village named Emmaus. It was just after Passover, so people were returning to home. People were returning to places where they had come from. And we think quite probably that's what was going on here. We had two of these disciples who were probably part of the larger group of 72, not particularly of the remaining 11, but who were journeying there to a village, Emmaus. Now, I remember being a pastor in Texas, so I will attribute this phrase, this saying, that it's Texan. But there may be some others who may differ. All I can tell you is that when I heard it for the first time in my life, it was in Texas from one of my members there, who was remarking about another person that, well, he was kind of one of those, the glass is always half empty kind of people. Just always kind of on the pessimistic side of life. If you will, the sad side of life. And he just turned to me one time and he said, you know, that guy, he always looks like somebody just shot his dog. I'd never heard that before. But boy, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Because I thought he hit it right on the head. Looked like somebody just shot his dog. Have you ever looked like somebody just shot your dog? I imagine so, right? Depends what day, depends what situation, depends what relationship, it depends what whatever it is. There are times when I know I have a look on my face like somebody just shot my dog. By the way, I love dogs, see, so that's not a good sign. Not a good look at all. And so we read in today, while they were talking, these two, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, this would be a Lord risen from the dead. This would be a resurrected Lord. This is one who is standing before them in flesh and blood, with wounds, to be sure. But as Jesus, and you and I would know this because Luke is telling us, Jesus himself drew near, went with them, but their eyes were held back, the Greek would say. Their eyes were held back from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. That would be to say sad, gloomy, sullen. This was a very, very sad, sullen word being used here by Luke to describe these two that Jesus walks up to and approaches them and begins the conversation. That could be you and me. Sullen, sad. But who begins the conversation? Who intrudes into the sadness and the sullenness, the despair, the angst? Consider what had happened. Are you the only one who does not know what has just happened? This is Sunday. What is it? Saturday? Friday? The day before last, he was crucified. And do you not remember what happened there when he was crucified? When the ground shook, the earth darkened, the moon was dark, everything was dark. It was scary. What's going on? the whole place of Jerusalem and all the rest. You got to know how much this is in their minds and consciousness during these accounts of Jesus and a road to Emmaus. This was not just a normal day, like we say, because it's been for us 2 weeks after the day of Easter. They were aware of the Passover when Jesus with the 11 broke bread of the Passover lamb and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given unto death for you." That's the night before he died. He claims himself as the Passover lamb. Then he takes the cup after supper, blesses it, and says, "Drink, all of you, drink of it. This cup is the blood of the new covenant shed for you." He's speaking about his blood being shed for them on the night before he died and shed his blood in our time. Does this not inform you about who this is? With God, all things are possible. With God, who can place himself into our time and space and place and situations in ways that we could never imagine or dream of, yet he is the one there. These are the things that have happened. Are you the only one who has not heard what all happened in Jerusalem? And you don't see Jesus then suddenly making a show. "Well, I got news for you, buds. I am he. I am risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go get him." Nothing like that. He comes to them in their very despair, in their very sadness. This is when he approaches and has a conversation, looking sad. "Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him.'" So we're wondering, because we know the story, we're wondering, when's he going to call him out for looking like somebody just shot their dog? When is this going to end? Because for me, it's over. Jesus is risen. We know it. But go back to who these men were. And go back to how this Lord comes into their lives with his words. "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. "Moreover, some women," look out. Some women, this is how incredible the New Testament is to mention this, because women couldn't hold up in a court of law in that day. But Luke makes mention, some women, they even know some women among them in our company amazed us. "They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had seen a vision of angels." Right. Oh yeah, right. Who said that he was alive? "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." All they saw was an empty tomb. And so far you've got nothing but an empty tomb. Doesn't do you any good, does it? But that's where they were. "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." Luke writes, on the evening of the Passover, when Jesus celebrated it, or observed it, I should say, the salvation commemoration, and gave his body and his blood into that group. Right after that, he says, "And then they began arguing with one another who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God." So when these two are saying, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, but he's dead now," these guys saw themselves in what I've called, and it's the title of the sermon, like, man, this is like a Team Jesus thing. We're out here to win a few. Take them for the Gipper, but we're going to win this thing because we've seen what this Jesus does by his signs and wonders. We had hoped he was the one to redeem, but now, what does it say? They are very sad and sullen and gloomy. But these are the ones who would have known about the arguments of who's greatest in the kingdom. Ah, oh, that's the way. What we can tell right now is that this is no, what should we say? This is no Team Jesus thing. All of them are all alone in small places, in small groups, small places. Okay, so we go on. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ, the anointed one with the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, know this, that whenever you see the Holy Spirit in Scripture, you've got flesh and blood of Jesus right there. That's Holy Spirit. When you talk Jesus in the flesh and blood, giving himself for the sins of the world, that is Holy Spirit talk. Lutherans, are you Spirit-filled? Yes, you are. Because this one who was born, conceived of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit, is now anointed the Christ by the Holy Spirit. Are you not aware that it is necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them to them all the scriptures in the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Suffering, necessary. This is the risen Lord speaking. And where does he go in this conversation? Not like, well, look at me. He goes to the things that were necessary for the Christ to endure. He goes to the suffering. He goes to the death. He goes to the places where you and I go day after day in our lives and our families, our loved ones, those who have departed and gone to death before us, those whom we know are ill, those that we're worried about whether they're going to make it or not. He goes to that place right there to talk to them about, do you not know this is necessary for the Christ, the anointed one of the Holy Spirit, to go to his death for his glory. So his crown of glory, his throne of glory, is the place of his death, because it is precisely in that death that his glory is brought forth. Because what he has done in that death is he bore the sins of the world. That means he bore more than just your sins for his death, but he bore your very death itself, the great exchange. In that death, he exchanged his righteousness and received your unrighteousness, because that is the place of the victory. And that is the necessary part of dying. And that is to what all the prophets and Moses, beginning with Moses and all the rest, testify about what is this Messiah about. He is about dying for you, which should encourage us. But he's alive. They don't know it yet. They have not recognized it. But we see it clearly here. There he is in his glory. Because what we see is that is in his death, all death was defeated. And he is risen. He is alive. So whenever we speak about body and blood in this church of Jesus, we are speaking about a body and blood that has been given into death but is now living and pulsing full of life. Life that cannot be ended. Life that cannot stop. Life that he gives to you from his living body and blood, which has been crucified and died for all of that that he received from you and from me. It's the great exchange. It's the place. That's where it happened. So they drew near to the village which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening. The darkness is coming. And once again, Jesus is coming to a dinner, and he's going to bring the brightness of his light into this dinner. And the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, distributed it to them. And their eyes were open, passive. They didn't open their eyes. They didn't come to their senses. These are sinners like you and me. We're blind when it comes to the thing of God and how righteous he is. We only delude ourselves when we think we're good enough to recognize, that's my God right there. That's the one for me. Put me on his team, and I'll tell you others about my God. And this God, and how victorious he is for you, because look, he just blasted death out of the world, which he did. But that's not how he operates. Where is the big revival? Where is the big thousands and thousands came and gathered around? No, it's at a table, bread broke, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. They recognized him. That word recognizes they knew him. You remember as it said that Joseph knew her not until she conceived and brought forth a child? This is the same word. It is a word of Holy Communion. It is a word of union. It is a word of two becoming one. They knew him because their eyes were opened, and we know that's by God himself, the Holy Spirit. They recognized him, and then this curious right there, and he vanished from their sight. It didn't say he went away, he left, he went up in the sky. He vanished from their sight, and all that was left for them to see with their sight, with their eyes, was the bread, broken. But in that bread, they didn't just see, oh, we got bread for dinner. You know, Dad always had to have bread. Yep, we got bread here if you're going to be with us. No. In this bread, they saw and recognized Jesus risen from the dead that they so feared in this time of their life with all the things that happened in Jerusalem. The breaking of the bread, there it is. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Isn't that the way it goes? It's the scriptures that God uses to open hearts. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They'd been eating dinner. Time to call it quits. The day's over. They went back to Jerusalem. I figure less than 2 hours. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Do you want a little Jesus in your life? People of Easter? People 3 weeks after Easter? Do you see where he does it? In the breaking of the bread. That's why the church would call the Lord's Supper so often, so long, the breaking of the bread. Because we don't just see bread and remembering what Jesus did. We see in that bread the very presence, the very communion of Jesus himself, body and blood, given and shed for you, blood, brothers, everything here in the bread. That's why we're here today, because we're gathered in a small group, as early Christians were, so few and yet so many in the world, but at places and locations where the Lord gives his name and the breaking of the bread, so that you and I in this little place, this common place where we're just the same old people we were last week and the week before and whatever happened to us this week, we see here at his altar, we don't see the way they do communion at Grace, we see Jesus in the breaking of the bread. In the Passover where he says, my body given for you, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, no more death for you because you're here. You're at this place where he comes and you know him. And you know that it's not bread. You know that in this bread, it's him, risen from the dead for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.